sometimes demanded from her gorgeous, responsive body. She sighed softly in her sleep, and even that small sound had the ability to turn him on. The sheet was pulled up to her chest, and he had to seriously resist the urge to caress his fingers along her bare arm, to gently push her to her back, pull down the covers, and suck on her nipples until he had her writhing beneath him and begging for his cock. He was so damn tempted, but he'd exhausted her last night, and she probably needed a break. So he decided to take a shower, then make her breakfast. But once she had food in her stomach, all bets were off, he thought with a smirk. He moved off the bed without waking her and strolled naked into the adjoining bathroom, quietly closing the door. He turned on the shower to let the water get hot. As he waited, he saw toothpaste on the vanity, and since he didn't have a toothbrush, he did the next best thing and washed his hands, then used his finger until his breath tasted minty fresh. Stepping into the glass enclosure, he doused his entire body, then glanced at the array of feminine products on a rack in front of him. He had a choice between floral-smelling shampoo and fruity-scented body wash. Nothing even remotely masculine, but with limited options, he went for the peach shower gel. He drizzled the thick liquid onto a pink mesh body scrubber and got the job done. He even used it to wash his hair. He rinsed off, using his palms to wick away the soap suds on his arms, his chest, and down his stomach. A frustrated groan escaped him as his fingers brushed across the stiff, aching erection. Fuck. He was never going to get through the morning with a persistent bulge in his pants if he didn't give his cock what it wanted.
"You're such a demanding fucker," he muttered irritably to himself as he leaned his back against the tiled wall and wrapped his fingers tight around his length.
He closed his eyes to summon any one of the fantasies he'd created with Tara last night as he started to jack off. After experiencing Tara in the flesh, his dick was meh about getting a hand job, and not the least bit impressed with his efforts. Jesus, not only a demanding fucker, but now he was becoming a selective asshole as well. Jackson dropped his head back and utilized all his normal tricks to get the job done. His shaft remained hard as steel and mocked his attempts to get him off. He swore beneath his breath and pumped harder, faster.
"Want some help with that?"
Jackson jumped at the sound of Tara's soft, seductive voice. He'd been concentrating so hard he hadn't heard her enter the bathroom and had no idea how long she'd been standing on the other side of the glass partition watching him. Judging by the amusement curving her lips and the unmistakable lust flashing in her still sleepy eyes, it had been a few minutes at least. Completely naked, yeah, he'd finally peeled away all her self-conscious tendencies last night, she opened the door and stepped inside the steamy shower, her head tipping seductively to the side.
"Well?"
Her offer was one his dick wasn't about to refuse.
"Your soft hand would feel immensely better than mine," he admitted with a sexy grin.
She stepped close to him so that the shower spray was hitting her backside. Placing a hand on his water-slick chest, she slowly skimmed it all the way down to his straining erection. She wrapped her fingers around him and gave him a tight squeeze as she pressed her body to his and placed a hot, arousing kiss on the side of his neck.
"How about my mouth?"
she asked, her playful, inviting words skimming across his ear as she stroked his length and gently rubbed her thumb across the sensitive head.
"How would that feel, Mr. Stone?"
He placed his hands on the curves of her hips and groaned like a dying man while his boner twitched blissfully in her hand.
"Like fucking heaven on earth."
"Sin number two coming right up," she murmured huskily.
Jackson had that one memorized, seared into his memory. Having her soft lips wrapped tight around his dick as she sucked him, her hot mouth taking him so fucking deep he'd hit the back of her throat. She settled on her knees in front of him, and he angled the shower head so that the water hit her lower back and wouldn't interfere with the pleasure she was about to bestow upon his anxious cock. She rubbed his muscled thighs with her palms and looked up at him, a sultry goddess at his feet. Her makeup from last night was slightly smudged beneath her eyes, and her hair was disheveled from the many times he'd pulled it, but it only made her look hotter, sexier,
like a woman who'd been thoroughly, repeatedly fucked by him.
"Put your hands in my hair like you told me you want to," she urged in a provocative voice. "Show me how you like to be sucked."
A strangled laugh caught in his throat.
"Trust me, baby, there's no wrong way."
But that didn't stop him from sliding his fingers into those silky strands and gripping them securely in his fist.
"Just feeling your soft, warm mouth surrounding my cock is going to drive me insane."
"Good."
He caught the barest hint of a devious smile right before she leaned forward and her parted lips slid down the length of his shaft, taking him, captivating him, enthralling him, and making his goddamn dick thrum with pure happiness. This was exactly what the fucker wanted, not that Jackson was about to argue, because, Jesus, his hand couldn't even come close to competing with the soft, lush feel of her mouth enveloping him, the erotic swirl of her tongue heightening his desire, and the perfect suction threatening his control. And when those sultry blue eyes looked up at him, with her lips stretched around his rigid flesh and the tip of his cock brushing the back of her throat, he knew he was seconds away from climaxing.
"You need to stop before I come,"
he warned on a rush of air, and relaxed his fingers from where they'd been clutching her hair to give her room to back off. Her response was a sweet, tempting moan and another deep swallow that had his blood rushing through his veins and his shaft swelling with the imminent release gathering in his balls. The muscles in his abdomen flexed as he cupped the back of her head in a loose hold and instinctively thrust into her mouth, his restraint vanishing, as it seemed to always do with her. He had no defenses against this woman. Physically and emotionally, she slayed him. Another surge of his hips and the coil of need winding tighter and tighter inside him finally detonated. With a hoarse shout, he came in a dizzying blast of pleasure, with Tara taking everything he had to give until his dick was utterly spent and completely satisfied. At least, for now.
Chapter 10. Tara finished her shower with a delighted smile on her face, while Jackson promised to go and make them breakfast. Well, actually, he'd been more than willing to return the oral favor, but that wasn't why she'd given him a blowjob. She'd done it because it was something that brought her a different kind of pleasure and gave her a thrilling rush of satisfaction, and because she really liked shattering Jackson's self-control. There was nothing sexier or hotter than watching him let go completely with her. She washed her hair and cleaned her face and gently skimmed the mesh scrubber over her body, careful to be extra gentle with her sore breasts and sensitive nipples and the insides of her thighs where she was tender from Jackson's stubble abrading her delicate skin. Not that she was complaining. No, after 6 years without sex with a man, she welcomed all the delicious twinges and aches as a result of Jackson's intensive fucking. Her body felt more vital and alive than it had since that incredibly dark time in her life. It was merely a bonus that Jackson also made her feel beautiful, desirable, and happy. After getting out of the shower, she dressed in a pair of soft cotton shorts and a tank top, sans a bra for now, and used her blow dryer to remove most of the moisture from her hair so that it was damp but would dry in soft waves. She brushed her teeth, then followed the scent of something enticing and savory, along with the smell of coffee, to the kitchen. Jackson was standing at her stove cooking breakfast, his back to her. His hair was still wet from his shower and looked as though he'd already run his fingers through it a few times. He was wearing only his jeans, giving her a spectacular view of his broad shoulders and his smooth, lightly muscled back and the tight ass encased in denim. Quietly, she padded across the tiled floor in her bare feet, and when she was standing behind him, she skimmed her fingers down his spine to the waistband of his jeans. He glanced over his shoulder at her, a sexy smile on his lips.
"Hey, beautiful. You hungry?"
Very.
She wrapped her arms around his waist, flattened her hands on his firm stomach, and placed a soft, warm kiss on his back. She inhaled the scent of her body wash lingering on his skin and grinned.
"Maybe I'll just take a big bite out of you. You smell like a delicious, juicy peach."
He chuckled, the sound wicked.
You can eat me, lick me, and suck me later. I promise. Right now, I think we both need real food.
She couldn't disagree. She was starved. And caffeine, she added, gravitating toward the coffee maker. I didn't get much sleep last night since a certain someone kept me up for hours.
If you're expecting an apology, it's not gonna happen,
he replied unrepentantly as he flipped a monstrous omelet in the large pan he had on the stove.
Not once in the 6 times that I fucked you did I hear that mouth of yours say, I'm tired, let me sleep. So really, it's your own fault.
She laughed as she stirred cream and sugar into her coffee, then moved to the counter next to the stove and leaned against it. I have to admit, your stamina is impressive. Turning off the burner, he plated the fluffy egg dish, set it on the counter beside her hip, then kissed her mouth as he murmured,
My dick was totally influenced by the softest, warmest, tightest pussy it's ever had. Yours.
She bit her bottom lip as a heated flush swept across her freshly scrubbed cheeks. She shouldn't be embarrassed after all the delightfully depraved things he'd done to her last night, but Jesus, the man had the dirtiest, filthiest mouth and had a way of catching her off guard with his shocking statements. He took the coffee mug from her hands and set it aside, then grabbed her waist and lifted her until she was sitting on the counter. She gasped in startled surprise as he pushed her knees apart and moved in between so that her legs bracketed his hips.
What are you doing? She asked breathlessly.
He gave the mug back to her to hold and shrugged.
You only had enough eggs in the refrigerator for one omelet, so we're going to have to share.
She'd had at least a half carton of eggs, so his idea of what constituted one omelet was a huge serving size, not to mention the ham, mushrooms, and cheese he'd overstuffed it with.
I do have a table we can sit at, you know.
Yeah, I know,
he said, his eyes bright with amusement as he brought a forkful of eggs to her mouth.
But this is much more convenient and fun.
You're going to feed me my breakfast?
She asked incredulously. A bad boy grin lifted the corners of his lips.
It's the least I can do to thank you for that phenomenal blowjob you just gave me. So just relax and enjoy, okay?
She rolled her eyes.
Okay, fine.
She took the bite he offered and had to admit that he made one amazingly good omelet. For every one bite he fed to her, he ate 2. Not that she minded, since he probably needed the calories more than she did. And once she did relax, she realized how much she appreciated being the center of his attention. She felt spoiled and pampered and cared for, and those were luxuries she'd lived most of her life without. She just needed to be careful and not get too used to Jackson's sole focus and attention. Whatever this was between them, it was amazing and exciting, but she knew better than to read more into this affair than what it currently was. There was no telling how long it would last, and it had taken her once broken, damaged heart so long to heal that she was cautious about giving someone that part of herself again. They finished the breakfast he'd made, and Jackson rinsed the plate off, then came back to where she was still sitting on the counter. She expected him to help her down, but instead he braced his hands on either side of her thighs, his expression suddenly more serious than it had been since leaving Clay's the night before. He exhaled a deep breath, his eyes so gentle it made her heart ache because she couldn't remember the last time anyone had looked at her with such understanding and affection.
So, now that you have a full stomach, there's something I'd like to ask you. But I'll understand if it's something you don't want to talk about.
She swallowed hard, feeling uneasy. Those were pretty much the same words she'd spoken to him last night, before she'd asked about his assault charge. When he'd turned around and asked her about her secrets, and she'd managed to evade the question.
Okay,
she replied, hating the slight quiver in her voice and the dread of the unknown question coming her way.
I saw your tattoo last night,
he said, his gaze holding hers steadily.
What does the struggle is part of the story mean?
An involuntary shiver stole through her, and her heart started a slow pound in her chest, increasing the anxiety, quickening her pulse. The significance of the phrase she'd had Mason tattoo on her was personal and private, and no one had seen it until Jackson. It was a reminder of the journey she'd started over 6 years ago and the grief and anguish she'd survived. But was she ready to crack open a sealed part of her heart and share those painful memories with this man? He slowly lifted a hand, and with excruciating gentleness, he brushed the backs of his fingers along her cheek in a soothing caress.
Sweetheart, whatever just put that panic I can clearly see in your eyes, whatever it is, it can't be that bad.
He was wrong. It was that bad. She inhaled a shaky breath, torn between pushing him away so she could put distance between them and being brave and sharing her biggest, most devastating secret with him. Part of her fear was that he'd look at her differently, that he'd see her more as an ex-drug addict who had no place in his successful life than a woman still trying to find her place in the world. He was waiting patiently, not pushing or prodding for answers, leaving the end result totally up to her. She'd only known Jackson a short time, but there was one thing she knew without question. He was a man of integrity, one who valued honesty and trust, both of which he'd given to her. If he could allow her insight into his past, to the shitty childhood he'd endured and the betrayal of his ex-wife, couldn't she do the same? The initial dread and fear she'd experienced slowly faded away as Jackson gave her as much time as she needed to make her decision. Letting anyone close was difficult for Tara when she was so used to protecting her emotions. Allowing someone to witness her greatest failure, to learn about the stupid choices she'd made that had led to a dark depression of guilt that had nearly swallowed her whole, was even more challenging. But maybe this moment with Jackson, this particular emotional struggle, was also a part of the story. And with that realization, she knew she had two choices. She could let the past continue to keep her from truly being whole and at peace with herself, or she could release the pain and take a step toward her future and the possibility of finding something special and unique with this man. When presented that way, her decision became an easy one. The calm that suddenly settled over Tara was exactly what she needed to know that she'd come to the right conclusion.
I think for you to truly understand the entire story, I need to tell you how I grew up.
He set his hands on her knees, not in a sexual way, but as a reassurance that he was right there with her.
Okay.
Do you remember me telling you that my father is an army sergeant at Camp Butler in Springfield?
When he nodded, she continued.
Well, growing up with a parent in the military was tough. When I was really young, he was stationed overseas, so I only saw him a few times a year. But around the time I turned 8, he accepted a position at a base close to home, and the dynamic of our family completely changed. I always knew he was strict, because that's how he treated me and my brother when he was home on leave, but having him living with us full-time, well, it was bad.
Jackson didn't say a word, but then he didn't have to. The compassion in his eyes reached out to her, and the calming sensation of his thumb gently stroking her skin right above her knee was exactly the connection to him that she needed.
My father was very hard-edged and stern, and he had certain expectations of me and my brother that seemed, at times, impossible to live up to. Nothing we did was good enough, ever.
She shook her head as she remembered how beaten down and inadequate she'd felt, how her self-esteem had gradually dwindled along with what little she'd had left of her pride.
Anything below an A in school was unacceptable, and we were punished. The chores we were expected to do around the house were endless, but the fact that he found fault in everything I did was what made life with him so excruciating. There was never any positive reinforcement, no praise for a job well done, because in his mind, my brother and I could do better, be better.
What about your mother?
He asked quietly.
My mother was passive and timid and would never contradict anything my father said or did. Even if she knew he was wrong or out of line, she never stood up to him, and that made me so fucking angry as a teenager. Especially when, as I got older, my father would criticize the clothes I wore, the style of my hair, the friends I had, and she never, not once, said a goddamn word in my defense.
Tara's throat tightened as memories of how hurt and betrayed she'd felt toward her mother during that time resurfaced now.
My mother's inability to get a backbone so she could protect me and my brother from our father's mental and emotional abuse only fueled my rage toward the entire situation. By the time I was 16, I was deliberately breaking every fucking rule my father made, because it didn't make any difference if I followed them or not, because I couldn't do anything right anyway. By the time I was 18, I was running with a bad crowd and abusing prescription drugs, because it was the only thing that numbed my emotions and made my life bearable.
Jackson swore beneath his breath, and he picked up her hands, his fingers so warm compared to how cold she felt. He held her hands as if he wanted her to know that he was right there with her, listening to every word and empathizing with her family situation, considering what he'd gone through with the man who'd raised him. Except her circumstance and the choices she'd made had led to a tragic ending she'd been too naive to ever see coming. She forced herself to continue. By the time I was 19, my father had kicked me out of the house because, according to him, I was a disgrace, and he wasn't going to support a drug addict in any way. Never once did he or my mom try and get me the help I desperately needed to get clean and sober, so I spent the next few years crashing on friends' couches and doing whatever it took to get a hold of oxycodone so I didn't have to feel anything. And that's how I met Michael.
Michael?
He prompted curiously. She nodded, trying to maintain her composure as she finished her story, but it was difficult considering what she was about to relive.
Michael, a guy I ended up getting involved with, was from a wealthy family, and he had emotional issues of his own that opiates helped him escape. We were together for a few months, and he had some connections to a dealer who sold the street version of fentanyl, which is one of the strongest painkillers on the market. We didn't know at the time, but the fentanyl was laced with heroin, and we both overdosed.
Her voice cracked, and she could feel the swell of moisture burning in her eyes.
Our roommate at the time found both of us unconscious the following morning, and we were taken to the hospital. I survived, but Michael died.
Hot, scalding tears fell over her lashes and tracked down her cheeks.
His family, when they came to the hospital, blamed me for his death. His sister, Bryn, said the most horrible, hateful things to me, and I just wanted to die from the pain I'd caused her family, even though it wasn't directly my fault. I've never felt such loathing and contempt from a person.
Jesus, I'm so sorry.
He raised both of his hands and swiped away the wetness with his thumbs, a deep frown furrowing his brows.
Your parents, did they come and see you?
Not once,
she said, her voice raspy from the painful sob she'd managed to hold back.
They never acknowledged the fact that I nearly died, or came to visit me during my stay in rehab after it happened, or joined me during my therapy sessions. Regret, sadness, shame, survivor's guilt, I went through it all alone.
Oh, sweetheart.
He slid his arms around her and pulled her into his embrace.
You're not alone anymore.
She wrapped her arms around his waist, her cheek resting on his warm chest as he stroked her back.
No, I'm not. I have Clay, Mason, Levi.
He pulled back and stared deep into her eyes, so deep she wanted to drown in the emotion she saw there.
And me, Tara,
he said with a fierce conviction she wanted so badly to believe.
You have me.
Yes, for now she did, and for now it was enough.
Thank you.
His hands came back up to her face again, cradling her as if she were a piece of fine china.
You are one of the strongest, most resilient women I know, and I'm fucking crazy about you,
he added with a grin. She laughed, grateful for the bit of humor that served to chase away the depressing memories.
I'm a little crazy about you too,
she admitted, unable to deny the butterflies in her stomach that accompanied that truthful statement.
Spend the day with me,
he insisted with a smile.
We can have lunch at Navy Pier, go to a movie, anything you want.
She wanted to say yes so badly, but was instead filled with regret.
I can't. I have to be at work at 4, and I close down the bar tonight. His lips flattened into a sullen line.
Can I just say, I hate your fucking schedule? He grumbled unhappily. For the first time ever, so did she.
Are you seriously pouting right now?
No, he insisted, though the small smirk that suddenly replaced his glum expression contradicted his denial. I just want to make you and us work. I want to see you and date you and just be with you.
Oh, this man made her heart all aflutter. I want the same thing, she whispered.
Then we'll figure out a way to make it work, he said, as his hands dropped to her hips, then circled around to grab her ass, hauling her to the edge of the counter so the front zipper of his jeans was pressed tight against her sex.
Okay, she agreed breathlessly.
Good.
He effortlessly picked her up, and she automatically wrapped her legs around his waist to hold on while he headed back toward her bedroom, then set her on the bed.
But for right now, since our time today is limited, I vote for spending it right here, between these gorgeous thighs of yours.
She bit her bottom lip as her body started to melt. I vote for the same thing, she said, as he pulled her shorts and panties off and did the same with her tank top.
See?
He murmured, a pleased smile on his face as he settled between her spread legs, his mouth inches away from where she wanted him the most.
Look at how fucking compatible we are.
Her only answer was a compatible moan as he proceeded to show her, in detail, exactly how well they fit together. Chapter 11. Have fun shopping with Samantha today. Buy something sexy to wear to the party on Saturday that I'll have fun taking off later when we're alone. Tara smiled, her heart feeling lighter than air as she read Jackson's sweet text. She was meeting Samantha in about an hour at a boutique in Chicago close to where she worked as a pastry chef. Since Jackson was taking Tara to an anniversary gala for his firm, where she was meeting his bosses and colleagues for the first time, she wanted Samantha to help her find something sophisticated and classy, with a subtle bit of sexy thrown in just for Jackson. She desperately wanted to make a good first impression, and that tiny, insecure part of her wanted to fit in his upper-class world and be the respectable girlfriend he deserved on his arm. She wanted to make him proud. She bit her bottom lip and replied, "Don't you know it's all about the anticipation of unwrapping the outer package and enjoying the surprise beneath? All in good time?" Jackson quickly texted back, "Can I unwrap you before the party? I promise to make it worth your while." She laughed. The man was incorrigible and insatiable. "Absolutely not. I'm not going to meet your bosses knowing you defiled me before we even left my house." "Fine, but be warned that I plan to make up for it once we get back to my place." She was already looking forward to it. "Fair enough. I've got a meeting to go to. I'll stop by Kincaid's tonight to see you at work." "Okay, talk to you later." Tara hesitated, then before she changed her mind, she added a pink, sparkly heart emoji to the end of her text, the first indication she'd ever given Jackson that her feelings for him were so much stronger than she'd been able to put into words. Much to her surprise, he replied with a smiley face with heart eyes. Silly as it was, her heart did a happy little dance. She set her phone down on her nightstand and finished getting dressed for her shopping expedition with Samantha. 5 weeks ago, and prior to meeting Jackson, Tara never would have thought she could fall in love with a man so quickly. But in those 5 weeks, Jackson Stone had definitely altered her emotions in the best way possible, in ways that made her heart feel full whenever she was with him and empty when they were apart. He made her believe that fairy tales existed and made her hopeful for her own happily ever after, when she'd lived the past 6 years certain she didn't deserve that kind of bliss. She actually saw a future with Jackson. Every moment that she spent with him made her more aware of how in sync they were, and made her feel as though she'd found the one person who understood and accepted her despite the mistakes she'd made in the past. He made her laugh, he made her feel beautiful, and he made her feel whole.
It certainly didn't hurt that the man was sexy as fuck and knew a dozen filthy ways to make her body hum with pleasure. She loved that Jackson was forging a relationship with Clay, Mason, and Levi. He'd been upfront about the assault charge and what had happened, and the guys actually apologized for jumping to wrong conclusions. The Kincaid brothers were making a concerted effort on their end to get to know Jackson as well, including learning about the past and the kind of childhood he'd had, which had been as troubled as their own. They met for drinks at the bar at least once a week, and Jackson had invited them to a Cubs game at Wrigley Field, where his company sponsored one of the luxury suites over home plate. Yeah, the guys had been impressed, and Mason had even deemed his brother a cool guy. And last Saturday, Clay had taken all of them to the Chicagoland Speedway for an afternoon of racing stock cars. The brothers' growing relationship made Tara extremely happy, and she knew that Jackson was finally beginning to feel like maybe, possibly, he had a chance to fit into the Kincaid family. Her cell phone on the nightstand vibrated, and hoping it was another text from Jackson, yeah, she really did have it bad for him, she picked it up in anticipation and was surprised to see a message from Clay instead. "Could you come by Kincaid's before meeting Samantha? There's something I want to talk to you about." She frowned as she finished reading the text. Clay sometimes came into the bar during the morning or early afternoon hours to check on things, but he'd never summoned her in the middle of the day, at least not without letting her know what exactly he wanted or needed. She wondered if she'd done something wrong, and tried not to read too much into his words. She replied, "Sure, I'll be there in 15 minutes. Tara grabbed her purse and headed out the door, and as soon as she arrived at Kincaid's, she walked inside and headed straight for Clay's office. He was sitting behind the desk doing something on the computer, and she knocked on the door to get his attention. He glanced up, his unreadable features giving nothing away as he leaned back in his chair.
"Come on in and sit down. This shouldn't take long."
Was that good or bad? She honestly couldn't tell. She settled into one of the seats in front of his desk. Now that she knew Jackson better, it was easy to see the differences, along with the similarities in the twin brothers. They might have been separated at birth, but these two men possessed so many of the same qualities, loyalty and integrity being at the top of the list. Beyond their good looks, the inflections in their voices and the way they laughed were nearly identical, and they both frowned the same when something was on their mind, very much like Clay's current expression.
"How are things with you and Jackson?"
he asked. His even tone of voice gave her no indication of where this line of questioning was heading, so she figured she'd just be honest and see where it led.
"Really good. It's definitely hard working around our conflicting hours, but we're finding ways to spend time together."
The evenings when she worked the late shift at the bar, Jackson accompanied her home to her place, and the nights she had off, she spent at his condo in the city. Not ideal, but they'd agreed that their flourishing relationship was worth the sacrifices they had to make to be with each other. Clay nodded in understanding and rubbed his hand along his jaw.
"I noticed you scheduled yourself off for this Saturday night."
Her body stiffened defensively before she could catch herself.
"I'm going to an anniversary gala with Jackson. Is that a problem?"
A hint of amusement kicked up the corners of Clay's mouth, adding to her annoyance.
"No, not at all, so calm down."
She glared at him because he obviously knew how anxious she was about this impromptu meeting.
"Then stop being a jerk and dragging this out and tell me, why am I here?"
"I was getting there,"
he said, and laughed.
"I've made a decision about the bar that could work to your benefit. That is, if you're interested in my offer."
She shifted restlessly in her seat.
"I'm listening."
"So get on with it already." He sat forward in his chair and folded his hands on his desk, his gaze suddenly all business.
"I've decided to open Kincaid's at 11 in the morning instead of 4 in the afternoon to cater to a lunch crowd, which means I'm going to need a day manager as well as a night manager, and I wanted to give you first choice of which shift you'd prefer. I figured your current schedule made it difficult for you to spend time with Jackson, so I'm hoping this might help you out."
Her jaw opened, then closed as a slow, ecstatic smile spread across her face.
Are you serious?
He arched a brow, sarcasm glimmering in his eyes.
About opening the bar for lunch or offering you the day shift?
It wasn't often that Clay was a smartass, but he was definitely enjoying himself a little too much, so she one-upped him.
Actually, are you serious about supporting a relationship between myself and Jackson?
Clay had the decency to look contrite, considering how he and his brothers had treated Jackson when they'd first met him. But in the 5 weeks that Jackson had been a part of their lives, they'd come a long way in accepting their brother as part of their family.
Look, I know Mason and Levi and I had some growing pains to go through when it came to Jackson,
Clay said sincerely.
But we've spent enough time with him to see that he really is an upstanding guy, so we approve of the two of you dating.
She rolled her eyes derisively.
I'm so relieved that I have the Kincaid seal of approval.
You're welcome.
He grinned like a scoundrel.
So what'll it be, day or night shift?
The choice was an easy one to make.
I would love the day shift manager position.
Consider it yours.
Clay looked equally pleased.
It's going to take a few weeks to get everything in place before we make the change to include serving lunch. I'll start the process of interviewing applicants for the night shift, but I'd like you to start work at 11, beginning next week, so you can help me with everything to make it a smooth transition. We'll need more bartenders and waitresses, and we can discuss menu options as well.
She couldn't deny the excitement of doing something new and different and putting her business degree to good use.
Thank you, Clay.
She glanced at the time on her cell phone and stood up.
I hate to cut this short, but I need to get going so I'm not late meeting up with Samantha.
Go ahead and go. We'll talk more about this later.
Feeling like her life was finally falling into place, she turned around and headed for the door.
Have fun dress shopping for the party with Jackson on Saturday.
She spun around at the realization that Clay had been jerking her chain earlier about taking a weekend night off. Her gaze narrowed on her boss while he gave her a not-so-innocent look.
You knew all along why I scheduled myself off on Saturday.
Yeah, I knew. Samantha told me,
he admitted and smiled warmly at her.
You look happier than I've ever seen you, Tara, and I'm pretty sure Jackson is the reason.
He is,
she said softly, honestly. Clay nodded.
That alone makes me like the guy. Regardless of the fact that he's my brother and twin, you deserve someone who treats you like gold and makes you feel special, because you are.
A lump formed in her throat, because Clay wasn't a man to wax poetically, unless, of course, it came to his wife.
You've become a softie since marrying Samantha.
He shrugged, but didn't deny her truthful claim.
There are certain people I care about and consider family, and you're one of them. But just so you know, if Jackson so much as hurts you, Mason has already announced that he will break his fucking kneecaps.
She laughed, because that was exactly something that Mason would say and do if needed. Since Tara was running late because of her meeting with Clay, she sent a text to Samantha to meet her in front of the boutique instead of Adeline's, where Samantha worked. The other woman was already at the shop by the time Tara arrived. Her blonde hair was plaited into a neat French braid, and she was wearing a t-shirt with the Adeline's logo that molded to her increasingly growing belly. Samantha and Clay had recently announced that they were having a girl, and everyone couldn't be more excited to meet the newest member of the Kincaid family. When Tara finally reached her friend, they hugged, then Samantha gave her a handled bag from the bakery.
I brought some freshly made cream puffs for you and that gorgeous man of yours, she said in a teasing tone. Of course, I can get away with saying that since he looks exactly like Clay.
Tara laughed. This wasn't the first time that Samantha had brought her and Jackson treats she'd made.
You're spoiling Jackson, you know that, right?
Samantha shrugged, an impish smile on her pink, glossy lips.
I just want to make sure he feels welcome and like part of the family.
He really does, Tara assured Samantha, appreciating her efforts.
And he's certainly not going to refuse a care package of pastries from you.
Since her car was parked nearby, Tara put the desserts into her vehicle, then came back and linked her arm through Samantha's as they walked toward the boutique.
How are you feeling? Tara asked.
The other woman was glowing, but then again, Samantha was stunningly beautiful and always well put together, which was why Tara wanted her advice on an appropriate dress to wear.
"Much better now that the first trimester is out of the way," she admitted as she placed her hand on the taut swell of her stomach. "My morning sickness is gone, thank God, but now my hormones are wreaking havoc with my sex drive. I want it all the time. Every morning, every night, and oh my God, the orgasms are so frickin' intense." She blushed. "Lucky Clay," Tara teased as she opened the door for Samantha. "Yeah, he's more than accommodating," she said cheerfully as she slipped past Tara, then added with a naughty twinkle in her eyes, "He says it's a tough job, but someone has to do it." "Yeah, what a hardship," Tara said humorously. They strolled into the shop, the clothing more unique and upscale compared to where Tara normally bought her clothes. Definitely more catered to Samantha's previous kind of lifestyle, before she'd walked away from her family's wealth for the man she loved. Clay had more than enough money to buy anything Samantha's heart desired, but her wants and needs were simple and revolved around her husband and now the baby they were going to have. Tara came to a stop beside Samantha as the other woman eyed a mannequin wearing a sexy red dress with a plunging neckline. Her fingers touched the silky-looking material as she glanced at Tara. "So, what are we looking for today?" she asked curiously. "Sophisticated or slutty?"
Tara laughed.
"Definitely sophisticated. It's a huge gala to celebrate the firm's 25th anniversary, and it's being held at the Bridgeport Art Center."
Samantha raised an impressed brow.
"Wow, very swanky." "I know," Tara breathed anxiously. "When I looked the place up on the internet, I almost had a bona fide panic attack."
It hadn't helped matters that Jackson told her there would probably be over 400 people in attendance, from employees to clients to business associates in the industry.
"Really?"
Samantha asked in surprise as she strolled to another dress hanging on a nearby rack, a black gown with gold trim that was too somber for Tara's tastes.
"Why are you so nervous?"
Clearly, hanging out at grand, extravagant places like the Bridgeport Art Center was no big deal for someone like Samantha, who'd grown up in the lap of luxury and had attended events in the poshest and trendiest venues in the city. Tara, however, had not. In fact, she was certain she was going to be etiquette-challenged compared to all the other cultured women present at the highfalutin party. Tara tried to explain her apprehension.
"Well, other than the art center being one of the most lavish places in the city, I'm sure I'm going to stick out like a sore thumb and look completely out of place."
"No, you're not." Samantha flashed her a confident smile.
"That's why I'm here to help you. I'm meeting his bosses and colleagues for the first time, and I'd really like to make a good impression," she added,
hating that her insecurities were getting the best of her, that her troubled past was messing with her head and instilling doubts. She and Jackson had existed for the past 5 weeks in their own little bubble, surrounded by her friends and the people in her life. Everything had been easy and comfortable and familiar for her. This was the first time she was stepping outside of her safety zone with Jackson and into the sophisticated world in which he lived, including meeting influential coworkers, important friends, and clients who respected him as a man and architect. So, yes, she was a bit frazzled by it all. Samantha stopped perusing the store and turned to face Tara to give her her full attention.
"Trust me,"
she said, her gaze soft and earnest as she squeezed one of Tara's hands.
"By the time we're done here and we discuss your hair and makeup, you are going to look like $1 million. No one will see you as anything other than the beautiful, stunning woman on Jackson's arm. I promise."
Tara nodded, wanting to believe her friend. On the outside, she had no doubt that she'd look the part, but on the inside, she was still that young girl who'd been addicted to drugs and had overdosed, a woman who feared she wasn't good enough for a successful man like Jackson.
"I just don't want to embarrass Jackson,"
she whispered, getting to the truth of the matter.
"Oh, honey, that's not possible,"
Samantha said in the sweetest, most genuine tone imaginable.
"You are an amazing woman, and he's going to be the luckiest man at the gala with you by his side." Tara appreciated Samantha's pep talk, and it made her realize that in order for Jackson to feel like that fortunate man at the gala who was proud to be with her, it all hinged on Tara's attitude and disposition. She needed to beat back her nerves and embrace the strong, confident, fearless woman she'd evolved into because of Jackson's influence. He believed in her and wanted her there, and she was going to do everything in her power to make sure he didn't regret having her on his arm. Chapter 12. Jackson couldn't stop staring at the most stunning woman at the party, and the fact that she was his date made him one hell of a lucky son of a bitch. An hour into the reception part of the gala, and Taro was charming the pants off one of his clients, George Weber, a gentleman in his late 70s who owned a media firm and enjoyed mixed drinks. Jackson also knew that man enjoyed beautiful women. He'd been married 4 times and joked about finding a 5th wife. It didn't escape Jackson's notice that Weber had been completely captivated by Tara from the moment Jackson had introduced them. Hell, there wasn't a man in the place who hadn't given her a second look, even if it was a subtle glance in her direction while their girlfriends or wives weren't paying attention. Jackson couldn't blame them. She was wearing a gorgeous, dark purple, calf-length dress that was very sexy, yet classy. Sexy because it molded to her curves, highlighting her full breasts and perfect ass. Classy because there was nothing blatant about what it revealed. The sheer stockings encasing her slender legs intrigued him, made him wonder where they ended and what else she was wearing beneath the dress. And the strappy stiletto heels on her feet? Jesus, they inspired all sorts of dirty fantasies, and he couldn't wait to fuck her in them later. And her silky, shiny black hair. He preferred it down because he liked having those soft strands tangling around his hands, but there was something so provocative about seeing it in an intricate, upswept style that left her shoulders bare and exposed her slender neck. The pearls around her throat that she'd borrowed from Samantha, along with a matching cuff bracelet, completed the elegant, sophisticated look. When he'd arrived to pick her up at her place, she'd been about to remove the diamond stud above her lip because she'd been worried that it wasn't appropriate in such an upscale setting, that some people might make not-so-nice assumptions about her based on an unconventional type of piercing. His response to that concern of hers?
I don't give a damn what other people think. I don't want you to hide anything about yourself, and I fucking love that piercing, so it stays.
She hadn't looked 100% convinced, but she'd left the diamond in place, even though he knew just how difficult that had been for her to do. When he'd first mentioned taking her to the gala, she'd admitted that being in such a luxurious environment made her nervous, that she was worried about fitting in, of people taking one look at her and judging her, that she'd mess up and say or do something that would embarrass him. So far, all she'd done was impress the hell out of Jackson with her willingness to try, while trusting that he'd be right there to support her. After George had gallantly kissed the back of Tara's hand, he'd asked what she did for work. Because Jackson had his hand touching her lower back, he'd felt the slight stiffening of her body that told him she wasn't comfortable admitting she was a bartender when it was obvious that most of the ladies at the gala were either high-powered career women or wealthy trophy wives. But the moment she'd answered George, very confidently, Jackson was proud to say, the other man had been fascinated, and a conversation about all his favorite liquors and cocktails had ensued. Currently, they were bantering back and forth as George tried to stump Tara with an alcoholic beverage she'd never heard of before. Most were old-timers' drinks, and so far, Tara was holding her own. While Jackson had never heard of a whiskey smash, a rusty nail, or a sidecar, Tara rattled off the ingredients like a pro, and George was impressed with her knowledge. Jackson introduced Tara to the owners of Schmidt and Kramer, along with the other partners and their wives, who were all gracious and welcoming. With over 400 people in attendance, the venue was full, and mingling was difficult, but with Tara's hand tucked securely in his arm, Jackson tried to make the rounds to say hello to as many of his clients and colleagues as he could. They sat through a 5-course dinner, chatted with the other guests at their table, and listened to a speech the owners of the company made expressing their appreciation to their employees and clients, acknowledging their commitment to the industry, and sharing their goals to expand into a more global marketplace. Afterward, Jackson pulled Tara out to the dance floor just so he had time alone with her and could hold her close during a slow song. He wrapped an arm around her waist and tucked one of her hands against his chest, right over the heart that was quickly becoming hers. He knew it was a huge statement, but 5 weeks with Tara had given him a renewed outlook on his life. He'd gone from being a man who'd felt like an outcast to feeling as though he'd finally found the one person who filled the emptiness inside him that he'd carried his entire life. She understood his past struggles and his pain, because she'd been there herself, and knew what it was like being an outsider in her own family. She complimented him in every way that mattered, and because of Tara, he finally felt as though he was exactly where he belonged, with the person he was truly meant to be with. Life was good, and he couldn't have been more content or satisfied personally or professionally. But it was in perfect moments like this that a small, contrary part of Jackson's subconscious reminded him that nothing good in his life lasted forever. And it was that deeply instilled fear that kept him from telling Tara how he truly felt about her, that he loved her more than he'd ever believed he could love another person, that she alone made him feel whole and complete. He was so fucking afraid that everything would disappear if he spoke the words out loud, that this happiness he'd finally found with her and with his brothers would vanish and he'd be left picking up the pieces all over again. His entire life had been that way, a sequence of unexpected disappointments and realizing that nothing had ever been as it had seemed. Just when he was confident and hopeful about his future, as he was right now, that other proverbial shoe dropped and kicked him in the ass. But fuck, he desperately wanted this time around with Tara to be different. But the thought of potentially losing her kept him from saying the words that had the ability to change everything between them. Not knowing if that declaration would alter their relationship for the better or worse was what held him back.
"Hey, if you squeeze me any tighter, I'm not going to be able to breathe," Tara said, her voice soft and laced with humor.
Jesus, he hadn't realized he was crushing her body to his, that deep-seated fear manifesting its way into his reality.
"Sorry,"
he muttered on a harsh exhale and loosened his hold around her waist so that his hand rested on the curve of her hip. She tipped her head to the side, her gaze suddenly concerned as she searched his face.
"Is everything okay? You seem tense all of a sudden."
He forced himself to relax and smiled at her.
"Everything is fine,"
he promised, and deliberately shoved all those dismal thoughts from his head to focus on the here and now and the woman in his arms.
"How are you doing?"
"I'm doing great."
She returned his smile, but Jackson knew her changing expressions well enough by now to know that beneath her upbeat reply, she was overwhelmed by the evening's festivities. After nearly 4 hours of mingling, being introduced to dozens of people and making polite chit-chat, he suspected she was pretty close to her limit. Hell, he was exhausted, and decided after the song ended, it was time for them to go. He was done sharing her tonight. She idly skimmed her hand down the lapel of his black suit jacket, then touched her fingers to the purple tie she'd given him when he'd arrived to pick her up so that they'd match.
"I don't think I've had the chance to tell you how dashing you look in your suit tonight," she said flirtatiously.
"And you look absolutely stunning,"
he replied honestly.
"Easily the most beautiful woman in the room."
Her cheeks flushed pink as she arched a brow.
"You do realize that flattery isn't required to get laid tonight, right?"
He chuckled.
"It's the truth, sweetheart. Your sexy dress, your elegant hairstyle that I can't wait to dishevel with my fingers."
Leaning closer, he pressed his lips to her ear and whispered seductively,
"And those indecently hot fuck-me shoes that are driving my cock insane with thoughts of you wearing them while I..."
Tara jerked back and pressed her hand over his mouth, her eyes wide in shock, though there was no denying the flicker of desire glimmering in the depths.
"You can't say those kinds of dirty things at a work function,"
she scolded in a low voice.
What if one of your bosses or a client hears you?
He shrugged and dragged her hand away from his lips.
Hey, I'm just expressing my appreciation for how exquisite you look tonight.
She laughed, then her features turned more wistful.
What you see right now isn't really me, she said of the fancy dress, the elaborate hair, the extraneous embellishments. To be honest, I kind of feel like Cinderella at the ball.
Like a fraud, and someone who didn't belong. He could easily read between the lines, and he hated that she'd think of herself that way. He understood that his work situation was different from hers, that as an architect, he was more entrenched in an affluent social circle, while she was a bartender who served a middle-class crowd, but this gala didn't represent the man he was, nor did it reflect the things he wanted in his life. He loved his career, and having nice things was definitely a bonus, but he knew without a doubt that none of it mattered if he ended up spending the rest of his life alone, or without her by his side. He released her, and, uncaring of who might see, he framed her face in his hands and made sure she was looking directly into his eyes so she could see everything he felt for her reflecting in his gaze.
Sweetheart, this isn't some kind of fairy tale that goes away when the clock strikes midnight,
he told her gently, aware of the irony. He'd been dealing with the same fears himself.
It's you and me together, and it's as real as it gets. Don't ever doubt that.
There was no missing the undeniable relief he saw in her expression, as if his words had alleviated her doubts, and that consoled him as well. He released his hold on her face and gave her a wicked grin.
So, are you ready to blow this joint and move on to more pleasurable activities?